Elijah's ministry was coming to a close, and what a ministry it was. Soon the Lord was going to take his servant to heaven by a whirlwind, one of two men that was never going to pass through the valley of death, Enoch being the other one. But although the Lord was going to remove his workman, God's work was going to continue. And that's always the way it is. We think of the mighty men of the past and the great work that they accomplished through God, and yet they came to a time when they passed away. But God's work didn't pass away. God's work goes on. He buries his workmen, but his work continues. Elijah was soon to be raised to higher service, and Elisha was to carry on his work on earth. Elisha's call to the work is found in 1 Kings chapter 19, and we read it there in verses 19 to 21. 1 Kings 19:19 to 21. And so he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was ploughing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed him by and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them, and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen, and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. This was the call of Elisha into the Lord's work. The mantle speaks of authority, and Elijah threw the mantle over to Elisha, indicating that Elisha was now going to take over the work that Elijah had commenced. The killing of the oxen was showing Elisha's strong commitment. You see, he was killing that which was his livelihood, the oxen. And once he had killed them, he wasn't going back to farming. Sometimes you read into this that Elisha was sort of hesitating about getting into the work, but he wasn't. He was burning his bridges behind him. He slew the oxen and he made a feast. And that feast wasn't just so he could give his parents a nice meal. It was really a thanksgiving offering to the Lord for calling him into the work. And so he was going to follow Elijah. He left his employment. He left his family and his friends to follow Elijah. Just as many today are called to leave family and friends and employment to serve the Lord. And what a service it is. It's a wonderful service. Mr. Spurgeon once said, "If the Lord calls you to be a preacher, don't stoop to be a king. It's the greatest service on earth." But when we hear the call of God, and it's not just ministers and missionaries that the Lord calls, it's you and me, just the ordinary people, into some service or other, in the Sunday school, the children's meeting, the senior citizens, or some other aspect of the work, on the doors, outreach work, among the youth, the Lord gives us that call. Remember in Matthew chapter 4 and 19, and Jesus said to the disciples, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And in verse 20, it says, "Straightway they immediately left their nets, and they followed him." And you see, when the call of God comes, there's nothing else that we can really do but follow him. And sometimes it means the leaving of families and friends and loved ones and homes to go to the regions beyond. But sometimes it's just in a local church to serve the Lord there. Now, after the call of God, there were certain places that Elijah was going to. And at each one of them, he said to Elisha, "Tarry here." And every time, Elisha said, "I will not be tarrying here. I'm going on with you." These places indicated the testings of Elisha in the work of God. Sometimes, you know, we throw people in at the deep end, and maybe they're not ready for that, they're not equipped for it, or perhaps they have a heart for it. Sometimes, you know, when you go to the mission field and you see the need, and sometimes you mistake that for the call of God. And if we work on that basis, then if it hasn't really been a call of God, then we're not going to follow through. But God had called Elisha to take over the mantle of Elijah. But these are testings, and we want to go through them fairly quick this morning. We'll not be keeping you late. The first test was of his sincerity. Notice what it says in 2 Kings chapter 1, and chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the first test was of his commitment, of his sincerity. And from what follows, it is clear that Elijah was going to test Elisha's commitment, his determination to follow him. Sometimes it's easy to start out in a work, and sometimes there's beginning of the year, there's great enthusiasm, and people get involved. But then you see, sometimes when things are not just going too well, and souls are not been saved, or things get difficult, then sometimes that commitment does wax and it wanes. At the time of his call in 1 Kings 19, Elisha said, I will follow thee. Now he was been given the opportunity to prove his sincerity, his commitment. He was given the opportunity also to go back. Elijah said, Elisha, tarry here. In other words, if you don't want to go on, just you stay here. But Elisha said, I said I'll follow thee, and I'm going to follow. Many say they will follow the Lord, but when the opportunity or circumstances arise, they go back. You know, it's not just the first mile of the way. It's the same in our Christian life. Many start off well, and then because of circumstances or situations or difficulties, they go back. It's the last mile of the way it counts. If you're there at the finish, and some can start off well and have good intentions, I'll get involved in the Sunday school, I'll get involved in the outreach, the Lord has laid this upon my heart and I'm going to do it, but then somewhere along the line there's opposition or something else comes in and they fall back. We think of Demas in 2 Timothy 4 and 10. He accompanied Paul for a long time. And then it says in 2 Timothy 4 and 10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. You see, he started off well, and he was among those that Paul encouraged, and Paul eulogized when he was writing his letters. Demas was among them. But now he said, he has forsaken me, having loved this present world. And you see, the love of the world sometimes hinders us from going on with the Lord. The pull of the world, its attraction, its pleasures. And sometimes we look at situations, we say, well, you know, look at people enjoying themselves, enjoying life, and they can go here and they can go there, and here I am at the cool face, and I never seem to get my head lifted. And Demas loved the world, and the pull was too strong for him. And I would imagine that he'd left the Lord a long time before he'd left Paul. Because you know, sometimes when people are backslidden or getting out of the way of the work, they've left the Lord before that. And they keep up a front for a while. But you know, you can tell sometimes when somebody's just gone through the motions. Somebody's just filling the position. Or whether they're really doing it as unto the Lord. Many have given up because of the hardness of the way. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself never promised us an easy road in our Christian life, never mind the Christian service. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Many slacken off because of difficulties or opposition or persecution or lack of response. That can be a difficult thing, isn't it? For a Sunday school teacher, you've been laboring maybe for months, for years, and it doesn't seem that much is happening. But always remember, brethren and sisters, you and I are called to be faithful. We're not called to be successful. Although I believe if we are faithful, we will be successful. But maybe it's only eternity that will reveal our success. But we're just to be faithful to the Lord. You in your small corner and I in mine. Sometimes it's the reproach that has to be borne. And here we think of young people, especially, who maybe are saved and they want to serve the Lord. And you know, there's those of their peers. And, oh, you still don't go to Sunday school, do you? You go to church and there's the pressures. But just you keep going on with the Lord. Elisha just kept his eye on Elijah and he just kept going on. They too went on. Maybe someone gives up because they feel they're not been made enough of. Well, there's one thing in the work of God that you'll always learn. Yes, sometimes you do get the thanks and that's very good, but never you think of the plaudits of men or of women. If you're doing it for the plaudits of men and women, you're going to get discouraged. You're going to get discouraged. Sometimes, you know, people are taken for granted, and that ought not to be. But nevertheless, it happens. But just you keep your eye upon the Lord, because it's Him we're serving. It's Him we're serving. And we will hear the well done, thou good and faithful servant, at the end of the journey. We keep looking to the Lord, just like Elisha kept looking to Elijah. When Elisha said, I will follow thee, he meant it. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. You think of the lovely words of Ruth when Naomi was going back to Bethlehem, Judah, and her sister-in-law, Orpah. Oh, she started out, she was going to go with them, and then just because Naomi told her to go back to her family and friends, she left off. She was easily put off. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. It's not a lovely, that's one of the most beautiful portions in all of the Word of God. Her commitment, not only to Naomi, but to Naomi's God. Thy God will be my God, and no matter what happens, only death will separate us. That's commitment. That's sincerity. And in verse 18, when she, that is Naomi, saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. She saw that she was determined. Determined. You know, I often think about Naomi. Now, Naomi was a backslider and was on her way back. And yet, she was willing for those girls to go back into Moab, back to their heathen gods. But Naomi had the right thing. She had got the real thing. She wasn't leaving her, because she wanted to be in her company and to serve her God and to be among the people of God. Sincerity, that's what we need. We need to think it through. We need to think of our commitment, what we're committing ourselves to. We ought to serve the Lord, but we need to think it through. We need to count the cost. And then the second testing was his resolve or his will. Verse 3, and the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. and constantly they were at him. As much as to say, why go any further? The Lord's going to take Elijah away from you anyway, and then what's going to become of you? And remember, these weren't false prophets. These were the sons of the prophets. These were Christians. And yet, their words would have hindered a man of lesser resolve than Elisha. See, sometimes many who will not go through with God themselves will often seek to prevent others from doing so. They were spectators. They were watching. And is it not so in the work of God that there's so many people and they're so fond of work they sit down and watch it all day? Or they'll watch others doing the work. But we all need to get involved. There's a work for all the people of God. There's not a child of God in the Church of Jesus Christ that hasn't got something that God would have them to do. And the test here was whether Elisha was going to be swayed by others, even those who should have known better. Was he going to be sidetracked from following his master? Or was he just going to go on anyway? And I think also in the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 4 and verse 10, remember Nehemiah headed up the work of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And it says in 4 and verse 10 that Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is weak, and there's much rubbish, so they were not able to build. Now he was one of the leaders, and he was discouraged and were not able to do it. Well, you need him in the work of God like you need a sore head. Discouraging. And sometimes discouragement comes from the unlikely quarters. We think of Luke chapter 9. And there was a man that was casting out devils in the name of the Lord. And John forbade him. Don't you be doing that. That's our work. Don't you be interfering in our work. And Lord, I've just told him that. And remember, this was the disciple whom Jesus loved. Above perhaps them all. And Jesus said, forbid him not. For he that is not against us is for us. Sometimes, you know, we think we only are doing a work for God. There's a multitude of people doing a work for God. There's many people that we know nothing about doing a work for God. Jesus said, forbid them not. If he's not against us, he's for us. And the interesting thing about that, when you go to chapter 9 and verse 1, you'll find that these people, these disciples, were given the power over demons. But when Jesus, Peter, James, and John came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a man there and his son, and he was indwelt by a demon. And he said, Master, I asked your servants to cast them out, and they could not. And yet this other man was doing the very thing that they couldn't do. And yet they had been empowered to do. We need to be careful when we criticize others that maybe they're doing something more than what we're doing, or doing it better. So we don't need to be discouraged, and we don't need to be a hindrance to others. We should be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block. And then there's the testing of his faith in verse 4. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. See, Elijah was giving him an opportunity to go back. He was testing them. For the Lord has sent me to Jericho, and he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. They were now leaving Bethel, coming to Jericho. Bethel was the place, remember, when Jacob and the knight lay down. And he saw the ladder ascending from earth to heaven, and the angels descending and standing. And he said, surely the Lord is in this place. This is none other than the house of God and the gate
of heaven. This was a blessed place. And you know, sometimes, brothers and sisters, the place you and I are in, it's great. And things are going well. And, you know, we wouldn't think of moving on from here because, boy, you know, this is good. This is good. Elijah got down to Jericho, the place of the curse. I think I'll just stay on here. Not a bit of it. He left Bethel to go to Jerusalem. I think of Philip. Philip was in Samaria. And boy, were they having good times. Were they having good times. The people had an ear for the word. Souls were being saved. And people were being healed of their diseases. But he was having a powerful time. And you know, if it had been today, we'd been putting it in the magazine, we'd been writing here and there. We're having a powerful times. And the Lord said, Philip, I want you to go down to Gaza, down to a desert place. What's that, Lord? I want you to go down to Gaza, a desert place. And what did Philip do? He immediately set off for Gaza. See, sometimes you and I have our own ambitions. We have our own desire where we want to be, what we want to do. And maybe it's not the Lord's will. Yes, it was the Lord's will for Philip to be in Samaria, but now he's going to remove him down to a desert place. And the Lord did it for a reason. Because there was a very influential man from Ethiopia. And he was traveling from Jerusalem back to Ethiopia. He was the Chancellor of the Exchequer in Ethiopia. He'd be a very influential man. And Philip, I want you down to talk to him about me. And Philip went down, and there he was reading from Isaiah 53. How often it is, brothers and sisters, when you and I maybe are reluctant to do something or go somewhere, and we say, you know, I'm leaving this to go to what? But the Lord was in it, and the man prepared. The man was reading from Isaiah 53, of all chapters in the Old Testament, about the suffering Savior. And Philip spoke to him concerning Christ. He preached unto him Jesus. And that man got gloriously saved. And I have no doubt that that man went back to Ethiopia on the way rejoicing. Philip is out of the scene now. He goes on his way rejoicing. And no doubt he spread the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you and I in the Lord's work, we have to be willing to be in the place where God wants us to be. Sometimes it's not our will. I remember when I was in Porto Voghe, and we just say this to, not for any glory of self, but we love Porto Voghe. And things have been going well there. We had good missions. Reverend Island conducted a mission there one time, tremendous time. Others came with missions in Ballywalter, with a good mission in Grey Abbey. We built a new Sunday school complex. We had a new manse. Everything was going all right. And then one day, Reverend Barnes asked me would I consider going to Mount Marion. Absolutely no disrespect to Mount Marion, but good times there. But you know, to come from Porto Voghe up into the city, you know, just couldn't understand that. And I thought to myself, you know, I could carry here on here all right. You know, meetings are good, things have been done, and I could spend the rest of my time here all right. And then the Lord rebuked me. And I thought, well, I could continue here. But sure, that's only marking time. I don't want to be marking time. I just felt the work was finished that the Lord would have me to do there. And so we give an affirmation to the call. We go up to Belfast. And I remember just a few months before that, I was talking to the Reverend Smiley in his own manse. And we just happened to be talking to be calls. And we were saying, well, you know, how would you know when the Lord's calling you? Because I'd never had been in any other church. And I said, Anne, you know, I wouldn't mind where the Lord called me, really. I could live anywhere, but I really wouldn't want Belfast. I really wouldn't want the city. And 2 months later, I got a call to Mount Mary in East Belfast. But you see, you have to be willing. It's not my will, Lord, it's thy. Where do you want me? Because that's the most important thing in the work of God. Being where God wants you to be. Now, I couldn't be in the Sunday school or the children's meeting or the reach or the youth fellowship. You know, I just wouldn't have that. But it just was where the Lord wanted me. We have to be willing. He said, no, we'll leave Bethel and we'll go to Jericho. And then there's the testing of his patience, verse 5. And her time is moving on. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. They're at it again. They're not giving up. Why go on with Elijah? The Lord's going to take him away from you. But Elisha must keep his eyes on Elijah. He's going to persevere. Already left Gilgal, he'd been to Bethel, led to Jericho. Is he going to continue? Sometimes, you know, in the work of God, that you might feel, well, I've been here long enough. Maybe I'll just take it a wee bit easier. And, you know, it's a wee bit like getting into retirement. I'll just take it a wee bit easier. But you never can get out of the work of God. And he just persevered. And he went on. He could have said, well, I'll stop here. I've went a good bit with you, Elijah. And I'll just wait here till you come back. But no, he said, I'm pressing on. Where you go, I will go. It's like the child of God. Lord, I'm following thee, no matter where it takes me to. And then there was a test of his character in verse 9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee, there before I be taken away from thee. Now, Elijah had proved him up to this point. And he would reckon that Elisha was determined to follow him. That this call was genuine, he was serious and fulfilling. And he says, ask me what I shall do for thee. And he said, Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. Now, when Elisha asked for a double portion, it takes us back further into Deuteronomy there. And the rule of the firstborn son in the family. He had a double portion. And Elisha was wanting a double portion. That this was his call. He was called to be the successor of Elijah. And this is what he wanted. A double portion of the Spirit of God. Now he could have asked a whole lot of things. He could have said, Elijah, well, could you arrange it so well if a good manch, you know, when I take over for you? Or maybe a nice wee place down there by the Red Sea with the summer. That would be very nice. No, he said, a double portion of thy spirit. Because Elisha realized the responsibility that was his taken over from Elijah. The work of God. And if he was going to do the work of God as he ought to do it, he needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He said, Elijah, give me a double portion. Now, Elijah, it wasn't within his gift to give him a double portion. That could only come from the Lord. But he did tell Elisha how it would come about if the Lord agreed to it. If you see me being taken up. What a request it was. What a wise request. The work involved bearing responsibility. To discharge his duties would require spiritual power. And it doesn't matter whether you and I are in the Sunday school, the children's meetings. Never ever you look down on those as insignificant in the work of God. Because I want to tell you, that's the important place. That's where you get the boys and girls before they get into the world. Prevention is better than cure. And if we can get the boys and girls to Christ early in life, that's the important thing. It's not only a soul saved, it's a life saved. So you need the infilling of the Holy Spirit in the children's work, the Sunday school, the senior, whatever work we're in. We need the Holy Spirit, because it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And he came to Jordan, and Jordan speaks of death. What would that remind us of this morning? Well, if we're going to be called of God and going to be used in the service of God, we have to die. To die unto self and to sin and the things of this world. God will only fill those that are dedicated to him. Those who are earnest and sincere in following him. Those who will obey him. Acts 5 and 32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And Elisha now had obeyed Elijah. He had been with him each step of the way. He had been tested, he had been proved. And did God answer his request? Yes, he did. And God took Elijah up into heaven in a whirlwind. They had crossed over Jordan. They went through death. Both of them together, dying unto self and sin and the things of this world. And then who's to come back again for the sons of the prophets were on the other side? How is he going to get across? Well, the mantle of Elijah fell, and that was the symbol of authority. And he took that mantle and he smote the waters. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Lord, where is thy power? And the Lord answered, and the waters parted hither and thither, and he went over. Was it known? Was it known he had the double portion? When you read there in verse 15 that the sons of the prophets, they saw that Elisha was certainly chosen of God to take over the work of Elijah. And brothers and sisters, the Lord will prove you, and the Lord will bless you, and the Lord will vindicate you when you go through with him. Like Nehemiah's day, the work is great and it's large. It takes men and women and young people to get involved, to commit themselves to the work of God. You have a great challenge ahead of you. Don't you look at it as a task. You look at it as something to be done for the Lord. To be a privilege to work for him and to serve him, and then just to go through with God. We might never see our rewards this scene of time. Oftentimes the Lord does, he gives us handfuls of purpose along the way, just to encourage us. But I tell you, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We sow the seed. God gives the increase. And we come home with the sheaves. May the Lord encourage us in his work. May the Lord challenge our hearts afresh. And may the Lord find us faithful in his service. Amen.